We're finally getting to the part of Romans chapter 7 that we've been waiting on. verses 14 through 25. A lot of people have a lot of different opinions about this. And I've got my opinion about it, but it's not an opinion. I believe it's what the Word of God teaches, so I'll teach it that way. But we've got to remember what he's taught in the beginning. I told you how important that was. He's still teaching them about the law. We've got to remember that. If it don't, verse 14 won't make a lick of sense. Because he's going to begin from verse 14 through 25. We've got to figure out who he's talking about. Is he talking about a Christian or is he talking about a non-Christian? And it doesn't take much reading with our background, our understanding of salvation by grace, and that God has called us to persevere in grace, to understand that it's a child of God here that he's talking about. These scriptures, many of them, could not possibly be applied to someone who's dead in trespasses and sin. Spiritual man is sensitive to these things. A natural man is not sensitive to the spiritual things of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says, neither can he know them but their foolishness unto him. So we can't attribute that to him. So we're talking about a child of God. The problem is this a child of God that's defeated, or is this a child of God that just is being taught by Paul what the Christian life is like? How is the Christian life? Is it all roses? No, it's not all roses. Do we still contend with the residue of the flesh? Most assuredly, we do. And so we have a struggle. And I believe that's what he's talking about when he's talking about verses 14 through 25. He talks about a struggle. Now, whether you want to talk about it's a daily struggle, I'm not going to have any argument with that. Or if Paul is just saying, I want you to look what life's going to be like all the way down the road, this is what it is. The flesh is what it is. The flesh is going to do what it is. But you have the Spirit of God. We can't disallow chapter 5 and chapter 6 and part of chapter 7. That tells us what God has made us, that we have the Spirit of God, and that we have the power of God in us, the grace of God that sustains us. So either way we're looking at it, and I guess both would fit because we do struggle daily. Would to God it weren't so. Would that we could live sinless. But I don't believe the Bible teaches sinless perfection in this life, or complete sanctification. There's some people that say you can get to the place where you're completely sanctified, you'll never sin anymore. They're deceived because that's not what the Bible teaches. So our only avenue is to continue understanding the Apostle Paul speaking of himself from experience, but also teaching us scriptural principles that would endeavor to help us understand why these things happen, how to overcome these things, and because of the design of God, realize that we're able to overcome. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, would sum up really a lot of what he's going to say in verses 14 through 25. Like I said, it's either a daily struggle or he's just laying out before us so that we can know and expect this enemy, the flesh. It's in contention. As long as we're living on this earth, we're going to have to crucify it. He talks about that in several places. He said, I crucify the flesh daily. So he says, this is Paul. You know, we put Paul right up here, and he's right here with the rest of us. You know, he has his own things he struggles with. He said, I die daily. That's the same thing as what he's saying when he said, I crucify my flesh daily. That's what we do. We die to sin and live unto God. That's the way we've been made now. God made us that way. And because we're true believers, if indeed we're true believers, we are going to act that way. There's no doubt about that. So we don't get lost up a lot of time in the verbiage of taking it line by line, although we're going to go line by line on some of it. But if we read it overall, I think you're going to see that Paul is talking about the struggle that he has. He said, I want to do good, but I don't. We're the same way. I want to do good all the time, but what happens? I take my eyes off Jesus. I allow temptation to come in or whatever the situation. And I find myself sinning. Instead of serving, I'm sinning. And so I come to the place where I join with the Apostle Paul at the end of this, and he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Now, there's no way an unregenerate is going to say that.
No,
not going to say it. I believe you that are born again, that hear this, would readily agree with what I'm saying. And the reason I would say that is, first, you believe the Word of God, and secondly, you've experienced that. So we don't base everything on our experience, but we do have an experience because we live life. And I think we've all experienced Romans 7, 14 through 25. So we'll get into it. I'll see what John's got to say about it. I was going to bring Martin Lloyd in it. Martin Lloyd wrote 2 chapters on verse 14. And he had me so confused, I just left him. He was saying that was neither regenerate or agenerate. So I said, what are you talking about? What kind of, have we got a third creature here? He was talking about that verse 14 is more of understood attitude when we're in the way of sin. But that still would have to me, be accounted to a regenerate. So I'll be going back again. I won't be sharing his notes with you in this. Although I'm a big fan of Martin Lloyd-Jones. He says some things that are very sound. And that may be true. I just don't understand it right now. And if it pops on me, I'll share it with you. But I'm not today. So here we go. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. For we know that the law is spiritual. Again, he's teaching, he's continuing defending the law. Remember, the law is good. So he's saying that. Remember who he's talking to, who he's convincing out here. So the law is good and holy and just. So he says the same thing here. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, buddy, that don't sound like a child of God, does it? No. So we read on. For, I think he goes to explain this now, verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. I believe that's the reason he says he's carnal in this reason. Not carnal in the sense that the carnal mind's empty against God, a man that's dead and trespassing in sin. He's saying when I falter and sin this way, I'm carnal, sold under sin. And we're told that we're not to be sold under sin, that we're to rise above that. Look over here, and where is it? Verse 6 that talks about that when he says, present your members. Yeah. Chapter 6, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. So if I'm serving God, it's obedience leading to righteousness. If I'm not serving God, it's sin leading to death, leading to separation. I'm separating myself from God, not eternally, not my sonship, but my fellowship. So that's what sin does now. Before grace, we were separated from sonship. We didn't have sonship with it. Once we're saved, that sonship can never be separated. And so perhaps that's what Martin Lloyd's talking about when he goes back to this. He says, because I'm sinning, he says, I am carnal, sold under sin. Kind of has the same verbiage. Don't know exactly what that, if that's that or not. But then he says, for what I am doing, so he's actually doing something here, I do not understand. Why would I sin? Why would I sin if I understand the grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ? I love God with all my heart and all my soul, and here I am caught up in sin. I don't understand why I do that. Why that's happening. I think that's reasonable, a reasonable conclusion. I think we have the same things that go on. Nothing frustrates me more than to wind up on that end and say, how in the world did I get here? When I love God, my profession is I love Him. He said, for what I will to do, that I do not practice. Inside me, my mind says, to serve God, but sometimes I find myself not practicing that, not practicing what I'm thinking or what I know to be right. But what I hate, sin, and all it does, that I do. I find myself doing that. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. Now, remember, he's going back to the law. He's not going to drop it out. He's going to come back to that. So he's agreeing with the law that the law is good. What's the law doing? It's uncovering his sinfulness, isn't it? So that's what he's saying. It's good that the law does that. Why? Because it puts me back on the straight and narrow. Okay? But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Why would he make that statement? This is what we want to know. Remember, he's talking about the law is good. They had accused him of saying that the law is sin. He said, no, the law is not sin. It's good, holy, and just. He makes the same statement here, that the law is good. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. It's sin that's doing the damage. It's not the law. The law has uncovered sin, and now sin is doing its dirty work. So don't blame the law. What needs to be blamed is sin. And he almost personifies sin here. If you look at this. But now it is no longer I, the Apostle Paul, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Okay? It's no longer the new man, Paul, that desires to do these things, although it is the new man, Paul, that's doing these things. But why is he doing? It's sin that dwells in me. It's my flesh. It's that part of me that will never be sanctified. It's that part of me that will never come under subjection to God unless I bring it into subjection. So here I think Paul is talking about those times that he stumbles, that he takes his eyes off Jesus, that he's not faithing, that he's, you know, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so if we're not living by faith, we're living by sin. That's just all there is to it. Not the two ways we can live. And so Paul is talking about that struggle here. So he's personifying to me how intense sin is in our lives, how much of a hold it can get if we forget who we are, if we don't do what in our minds we know to do. If we don't, we're going to do the wrong thing, and that's going to cause us to fall into sin. This is a life struggle. But he's talking about also, if you want to look at it as a daily struggle, you can also look at it as a struggle the rest of your life. This is not going away, is what he's saying. Now, do we want to remain there? Does it sound like he's a defeated Christian? If we wanted to stop there, and if we thought that was his tenor of life all the time, we would say, yeah, it must be talking about a defeated Christian, but it's not. He's talking about the way things are in the Christian life. What he is giving us is information that tells me, okay, I don't have to sin anymore, but this is the process it takes when I do. When I take my eyes off Jesus, when I quit choosing to live by faith, for whatever reason, this is what happens to me. I hate it. My mind wants to do good. I'm telling you, I want to serve God. There's not one of us in here that wouldn't say that. I want to serve God, but then I find myself not serving Him. This is frustrating to the Apostle Paul. This is shameful to the Apostle Paul. But he's teaching us in our life that we're going to have these daily struggles, not that we can just throw our hands up and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, I've heard so many people say, oh, well, that's just the flesh. Restrain me, Lord, restrain me. We have power over the flesh. We're not natural men and women anymore. If we're born again, we're supernatural. So we're able to overcome the flesh. So that's not even a good excuse. That's a cop-out. And I doubt if somebody keeps continuing in the flesh, oh, that's just the flesh, I can't help it. Yes, you can help it, you know. Or, we're all just human. Oh, we're just human. That's a defeatist attitude. The Bible doesn't give us an out for a defeatist attitude like that. Some people might come over here and say it does in this particular range of scriptures, but that's not what he's talking about at all. Because he's going to tell you at the end of it that he has victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we can't say I'm just human, or that's just the flesh, or I can't help it. Those are lies that we believe of Satan, if that's what you believe. That's a lie straight out of the depths of hell. He'd rather you believe that and not serve God. Any way that he can get you not to serve God, get you to believe a false theology, he wants that. That's what he wants. Because he can't have your soul. He knows that once you're blood bought, he can look at you and see the blood of Jesus Christ on you. So he says, can't have his soul, but tell you what I can do. I've got some perfectly devised traps. I'll just keep them in their flesh as much as possible. Give them a defeatist attitude. After a while, they'll quit. They'll give up. And maybe they're not covered in the blood of Christ. Maybe they're just apostates. Maybe it'll turn out that they're not real. So Satan's going to come at us with all this. Paul is giving us the ammunition to understand, and our ammunition is knowledge. Anytime you have knowledge, that's understanding. He is telling you the process of this so that you'll not get caught up in it as much. That's why he's teaching us this. All right? For now, in verse 17, for now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Okay? For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. He said, I know in my mind, in my will, I will to do good, but sometimes I fall short of that mark. Okay? For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He's uncovering the culprit for us. So it's not me. He said it's sin that dwells in me. Okay? I have been given the charge to keep that under subjection. But sometimes I don't keep it under subjection. And you see the pain, you can hear it in his soul. He hates that when that happens. And so do we. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to deliver me from this? How am I going to escape it? I thank God, there's praise to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. He wants to include us in this. He doesn't want to just say, my Lord, but he's teaching, remember? How do I overcome it? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I know what to do. I know what he's instructed me. But let me tell you something about my flesh. But with the flesh, the law of sin. So what is he actually saying? And Jesus says it in much simpler terms. Paul has just really gone into, diagramming our process. And boy, we can read this, and I tell you, I just identify with it. You know? Jesus said it as simply as this. He said the spirit's the spirit, and the flesh is the flesh. And if he was to go on, he might say, and never the two shall meet. They're not in this life. We are going to have to deal with the flesh. What does the flesh do? It sins. It is not going to do anything that would subject itself to the hand of God. Won't do it. It's not going to do it. When we go to crucify it, it's not going to just say, oh, just lay over and die. No, it's going kicking and screaming until we crucify it. Crucifixion wasn't just a haphazard term that the Holy Spirit picked out to use in living the Christian life. Crucifixion brings to mind one of the most painful, cruel, hurtful ways of dying that mankind has ever known. So he's using some very strong language there when Paul says in another section, I crucify my flesh daily. I nail my flesh on that cross daily that I might live under Christ. Okay? The flesh has got to be out of the way if we're going to serve in the Spirit. Flesh can't be in between. So we must serve in the Spirit and not in the letter of the law, or serve in the flesh. Can't serve in the flesh. Can't serve God in the flesh. Because the flesh is always going to lead us into sin. That's what it does. It wants what it wants. It did it before you were saved. And unfortunately, that part wasn't changed. The old man's dead. We know the power of that's gone, but for whatever reason, the flesh is left behind, and the flesh hates God. Its enmity against God hates him, And so we have this warfare that Paul talks about that we must engage in. He describes it in detail so that we might recognize it. Tries in the doing so, doesn't just try to, but he defines what it is. He said, it's not I, but it's sin that dwells in me. That's what the problem is. So I need to focus on that. I don't need to think with a clouded mind, how is all this coming about? I need to think with a clear mind, and that way I can clearly discern what to do to bring this sin into subjection. And that, I believe, is what the Apostle Paul is teaching in verses 14 through 25. You are not going to escape it. I don't escape it. The first Christian never escaped it. The last one won't escape it. It's a fact of life, but the Word of God lays it out clearly so that we can see its definition, and in understanding its definition, be able to apply the scriptural principles that God has given us to live a victorious life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says at the end, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where do we get the victory? It is in the one that claimed the victory. The one that went to the cross of Calvary and claimed the victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave for all those that he would save. And if we're among that number, if we're true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can join the Apostle Paul and say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That with, he says, so then with my mind I serve the law of God, which is a good thing, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, that's just the way Christian life is. Understand that. Don't be mystified by it, but realize that you're going to every day have to crucify that flesh to live a life of holiness and godliness unto God. That's information that you need. That's not information that you have to guess about anymore. I've informed you that this is the way it is. Didn't say it was easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy. It's hard. I hate it when I get caught up in it. But the bottom line is that we have power and we have victory through Jesus Christ our Lord to be able to bring it under subjection. And so that's how we'll start this, and we'll continue on with it next week. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.